This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. It's Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. It's time in this hour for us to dive into all of the games coming up this week in the National Football League. Sunday night, two Monday night games as well. If you missed the first hour of the show, go back and watch us on demand. We talked about the waiver wire, who to start, who to sit, and all of that good stuff. But Davis, let's start off by looking at some of the key games in the NFL this week. And from a fantasy perspective, it really doesn't get any better than this. Or you would think. The Baltimore Ravens taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals, 3-point favorites at home, total 46.5 in this game. Now, very clearly, the Bengals are the team to watch in fantasy this week, Davis, because you did not draft Jamar Chase, and you did not draft Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Joe Mixon to get that kind of performance last week. You could make the case, other than maybe the Giants, it was as poor as it possibly gets. Is there a chance that that reverses course this week and the Bengals are all worth playing in fantasy?
Well, 100%, you have to go back to them. I mean, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, honestly, even Irv Smith Jr. Not only was that like an all-time outlier performance from the Bengals in week one, but I would imagine that there's a little bit of the coaching staff wanting to rinse the taste of that week one out of their mouth. Like, I don't think this is going to happen. I actually like the Ravens side of this game at +3.5. I don't even mind taking a stab at the money line either. But let's just say, hypothetically, the Bengals are up 10 points heading into the fourth quarter. Lamar's having a terrible game, some special teams touchdown or whatever. I do not think the Bengals will want to, you know, step off the gas pedal at all. I would imagine starters play the whole way. And also, they just gave Joe Burrow this big contract. And you know what? Joe Burrow would like to win an MVP. All these AFC quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Lamar, all the guys who are not named Patrick Mahomes, I think they would all like to win an MVP, and we will see multiple scenarios. And the Chiefs did this last year too. I mean, these teams are not immune to this. These guys are humans. They want to win awards where they pad the stats of the starting quarterback a little bit in order to win them awards. Like, pretty hard to come back from a 58 passing yard game. Like, if you have a Bengal, you're starting in them. And then a fantasy relevant thing to just watch out for: who is the second running back behind Joe Mixon? One, I just don't think Joe Mixon is really all that good. And then it's important to know with an injury. I think Chase Brown might be active this week. He was not active last week. So just see who's playing on passing downs and who is getting carries behind Joe Mixon. And then obviously on the Ravens side, is Mark Andrews going to play? And what is the backfield split between Justice Hill, Melvin Gordon, Gus Edwards look like? Because if Justice Hill plays 70% of the snaps and you passed on him on free agent bidding, I have a feeling that you'll probably regret that.
Nah, you know Melvin Gordon's going to be playing and running the ball near the goal line. It's lock it up right now. I think you illustrated that earlier in the show. I strangely think the Bengals are going to win this game. I don't know why. I feel like there's a bounce back coming from them. But and I'm more of a Ravens guy here, and you know me, I'm more of an underdog guy too. Speaking of which, so the Bengals are 3-point favorites. Same line in the next game we're going to discuss here. The Chargers, a favorite again. They're giving out free money here, Davis. You want it? More free money. Chargers is a favorite. Never works. At the Tennessee Titans, Chargers, as I said, -3, total 45. There literally is no more frustrating team in football in the last 20 years than the Los Angeles Chargers. Davis, there was probably people who watched them play against Miami last week and thought they should have won that game like 7 different times, and they didn't. They couldn't stop the Dolphins. The offense did look good with Kellen Moore and Brandon Staley. Yes, they did, but they just can. It's the same story. They can never seal the deal in the end. So the total is probably like a mid-range total on the higher side. It feels like all hands on deck again for the Chargers. If you got them all, you play them. And for the Titans, I don't know. What did you make of the Titans game last week in their offense?
I mean, they stink. Ryan Tannehill looks whatever a step past cooked is, that's what Ryan Tannehill looks like. I mean, I definitely think we are going to see Malik Willis and Will Levis play at quarterback at some point this season for the Tennessee Titans. I prefer the Chargers side of this game. The move with the Chargers is never bet them against another good team. Do not bet the Chargers against the Chiefs. Do not bet the Chargers against the Jaguars or the Dolphins. My number one play last week was the Eagles. Miraculous cover there. Honestly, probably should not have gotten that cover. But my number two play was the Dolphins last week, because you do not bet the Chargers against a team that can punch them back in the mouth. You know, the Chargers offense is good. Kellen Moore, I thought, did a phenomenal job. I'm already buying into what he did with that offense. But it's just that overall Chargers stink. You can't wipe it off. But the Titans may not have the services of DeAndre Hopkins. He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, so sounds like he might even be a game time call. Treylon Burks, I thought, looked pretty good. Only 3 targets, but ran 95% of the routes. Important fantasy note to monitor here. Does Josh Kelly's playing time continue in the same way in week 2 as it did in week 1? And then also, Tyjae Spears played more snaps than Derrick Henry in week 1 against the Saints. He was the long down and distance back, played all the third downs. Now, obviously, Henry got 17 touches. Spears only got 4. You're definitely not benching Derrick Henry in fantasy, but it is worth noting, does Spears work in enough? Does Spears get enough touches alongside Derrick Henry for this to be one of those backfields where both guys are startable? Kind of like Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in years past for the Cleveland Browns. I could totally see that scenario popping up for the Tennessee Titans. And then Chigakonkwa also played a career high snaps and ran a career high in routes in week 1 against the Saints. Is that fool's gold, or if that's real? Because if that is Chig's real role for the Tennessee Titans, and it wasn't just because they were down in that game against the Saints literally from like the beginning of the game, then I definitely think he becomes and remains a fantasy starter.
All right, let's review one more game before we take a break. It is the Chiefs and Jaguars, Kansas City -3.5. High total in this one of 51. And Trevor Lawrence had to rally the troops late last week for Jacksonville. I thought that their offense pretty much looked as advertised. Some mistakes, I know, also in that game. And for Kansas City, it's kind of more in the same. Look, I mean, you're not going to set a total of 51 and then there's just going to be 30 points in this game. It's going to be one of the higher points scored games, I think, of the week.
So much to monitor here for fantasy. Kansas City wide receiver routes. How does Travis Kelce look in his debut? It was announced on Friday that he and Chris Jones will be making their debuts for the Chiefs. How does Rashee Rice play? What does the running back situation look like? Clyde played as much as Pacheco did last week. Does that go to zero? Does Clyde, you know, basically play the role he was playing in the back half of last year, which is to say no role, right? Because then Pacheco and McKinnon, you want to start them. Does Christian Kirk play? Christian Kirk was the clear third banana amongst the wide receivers, but this is a pace-up game. They are home dogs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Do they need to throw more? Does that mean less two tight end, more Kirk? Kirk, obviously the fastest of those wide receivers. Does that mean they need his speed against Kansas City? Tank Bigsby maybe had the worst game I've ever seen a running back have. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Week one, like two direct turnovers were his fault, but he still got rewarded with a goal line touch. Does Travis Etienne get some goal line touches after a career high in snaps and routes? Because by the way, if Etienne does get that goal line work, Craig, I think he can be the highest scoring running back in fantasy. He looks so good against the Colts.
He sure did. All right. We got to take a quick break. When we come back next, Bears and Bucks, Falcons and Packers. We'll preview those games next here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish along with Davis Maddock with you here on the show. Now, Davis, we're going to dive into some more games for fantasy, and this is probably one that I think a lot of people are going to stay away from. The Chicago Bears at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, let's give them credit. They played very well last week in a game no one thought they would win, and they did. Chicago did not, you know, look all that good in week one, but I think the line sort of tells the story here. The Bucs were... actually 3-point favorites. It's now down to 2.5. Some money coming in on Chicago, total of 40.5. I think you got to kind of pick and choose some of the fantasy starters from this one.
Yeah, I mean, the immediate thing we learned in week one is that the Bears passing game, it is not the new and improved Bears passing game. Justin Fields ate a bunch of sacks, threw some horrible interceptions, look to run too early. I guess maybe the big difference between Fields in 2022 and what he did in week one in 2023 was he was willing to check it down to the running backs a little bit more often. Khalil Herbert got 5 targets. Roshan Johnson, my guy from the University of Texas, got 6. Cole Kmet actually led all tight ends in expected fantasy points because he got targeted in the end zone twice, didn't come down with either one of them. You know, I wanted to like Justin Fields, and I still do. You know, I like a young, electric running quarterback, but I just don't know if it's going to happen for him. I think he just eats too many sacks. He does not do a good job eliminating negative plays. On the other side of the game, Baker Mayfield seems like he will be perfectly fine to keep Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in your starting lineup for fantasy football. Kate Otten played almost every snap at tight end. Really low-end fantasy starter there. Rashad White almost set an NFL next-gen stats record for rushing yards under expectation, minus 39.5 yards under expectation based on the carries that he got. I do think we will probably see Sean Tucker out of Syracuse sooner rather than later. And in fact, Tucker played a little bit more in week one. I actually thought he might be a healthy scratch and they would just play Keyshawn Vaughn and Chase Edmonds, but that is not what happened. So those are the main fantasy things to look out for there. I guess, honestly, I do not have DJ Moore in any league, but if I did, I might bench him here. And if he goes off on your bench, that's kind of best case scenario because it means that he's fine. But man, 2 targets in your debut game. And I think they'll probably try and force feed him some stuff here, but it does not feel that optimistic in the Windy City.
All right, let's go to another game where 2 offenses didn't put a lot of points on the board, and that's what the scenario points toward this week with a total of 40.5, Packers at Falcons. Now, the one positive, I think, between both teams last week, and I had him on both my teams, Davis, was, my gosh, Aaron Jones had a huge game for Green Bay. I know he's been banged up this week in practice. This remains to be seen what the story is with that. Falcons just sort of plotted their way through it. Green Bay is a slight favorite in this one. And once again, I think you're picking your spots with the players that you would use in these situations.
Yep. Aaron Jones, no practice on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday with that hamstring injury. Now, does that mean he's not going to play? We'll see, right? They do this a lot with veteran players. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, great example of this. A lot of times in DeAndre Hopkins' career, he has played with no practice. You're not going to find anyone on this team who knows the offense better than Aaron Jones. Obviously, I think you feel comfortable starting A.J. Dillon. I would be interested to see what they do if Jones does not play with Patrick Taylor and then this undrafted free agent who made the roster as their fourth running back but was not active in week one. Might be a scenario where Patrick Taylor keeps his role on special teams but doesn't play very much on offense. Also remains to be seen what they do with Christian Watson, who has not been ruled out. And he was at practice on Friday, Christian Watson was, but they've not made a declaration of his status either way, probably won't until Sunday morning. They didn't until Sunday morning with Watson last week either. I really hope Christian Watson plays because I've got him on a couple high stakes fantasy teams, and I would really like to use his points here against the Falcons. So honestly, interesting to see what happens if the Packers are in a close game. They were just up so much on the Bears last week. I don't think we learned much about what they want to do on offense. They were so run heavy. On the converse, pretty interesting. I mean, honestly, Craig, I hope to God that we get the Atlanta Falcons down 10 points in this game, because I need to know, is Arthur Smith going to be stubborn regardless of the score, regardless of how much he can win the game or lose the game by? Is he just going to throw the ball 20 times a game? Because in that case, Drake London, you don't want to start him. Kyle Pitts, you don't want to start him. Obviously, Bijan and Algier, you're going to be starting almost regardless because you know they're going to run the ball so much. But Kyle Pitts and Drake London, top 70 picks, top 80 picks in fantasy football. Pitts started to fall a little bit towards the end of draft season. Those are important players. I mean, Drake London was a fourth round pick who got one target in week one. I need to see them expand the playbook. And Ridder was awful. I know they won that game in week one, but man, he stunk. He did not have it in week one. And maybe he was nervous. Maybe the game plan, you know, just like whatever. I'll give excuses to guys for 1 week, but man, that was tough to watch. And just knowing that they've spent all these draft picks, all these first round picks on these skill position players and are hardly using them, it just really makes me, I just don't like watching the Falcons because I just get mad at Arthur Smith.
Look, they have their way of doing things there. It feels like the Titans way, to be honest. Like, you just don't know on any given week who is going to be the guy. He's sort of carrying it over to Atlanta. Okay, so the all-hands-on-deck game, Seattle at Detroit. We're showing here the Lions -5.5. I think this is probably going to be lower by the time this kicks off, 5, 4.5, somewhere along those lines. A little bit of an overreaction here, I think, on the line, Davis. Seattle's clearly not going to play as bad as they played last week on offense. They, you know, a couple of huge injuries in the offensive line. The Rams just got to them constantly. Total 47. This game last year was a ton of fun. And you talked about earlier in the show, daily fantasy. I think there's some stacks going on with both Seattle and Detroit.
Huge overreaction here. I mean, massive. Like, the Lions are not this many points better than the Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks are not going to have either of their starting tackles. Pete Carroll told us on Friday that both of their starting tackles are going to be out. That's not great to immediately lose them, especially when Aiden Hutchinson looked so good against the Kansas City Chiefs in week one. But Pete Carroll, I think, is a pretty good coach. I also think Dan Campbell is a pretty good coach, but I have already bet the Seahawks side of this game. I do think that maybe they don't win this game, but I do think they're in a strong position to cover. Fantasy stuff for the Detroit Lions. Obviously, we would like to see Jahmyr Gibbs get more than 9 carries or 9 total touches, and I think they probably will. I think that, you know, look, they were in a tough spot against the defending champions on the road. Like, as I already mentioned, you keep it tight. You don't do anything stupid. Now you're a home favorite. Let's open it up. Let's use him in the passing game. Let's throw him some balls on the wheel route. Let's throw him some screens. I think all of that will happen. And the Seahawks stuff remains pretty interesting. I mean, the whole team was drafted as fantasy starters: Metcalf, Lockett, Smith and Jigba, Geno Smith, and Kenneth Walker. I would really like to see DJ Dallas, no disrespect intended to DJ Dallas, but I don't want to see him playing for this team anymore. If you have Kenneth Walker and then you spend the second round pick on Zach Charbonnet and then you play DJ Dallas 25% of the snaps and you're trotting him out there on third downs, it just doesn't really make just doesn't make very much sense to me. You know, I just don't get it. So I'd like to see Kenneth Walker's role grow. I'd like to see Charbonnet's role grow. And it would make me very happy to see Jaxon Smith-Njigba have a larger role in this offense. Although he ran 59% of the routes in week one, not really that dissimilar to what Jordan Addison did in week one. And then we saw Addison's role grow on Thursday night. But the Seahawks are one of the more interesting fantasy teams because I feel like we didn't learn that much about them in week one because the score was so weird.
All right, well, we'll see if we learn more about the games to come here, because Davis and I, after this quick timeout, are going to preview the Las Vegas Raiders and Buffalo Bills, followed by the Indianapolis Colts and Houston Texans. And is there any stopping the San Francisco 49ers at this point? They have been great. They play at the Rams. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. More fantasy sports today coming up right around the corner.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Corner, as Davis and I dive into every game on the slate, we'll get to Sunday and then the Monday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as the Las Vegas Raiders travel to Buffalo to take on the Bills. And Davis, last week it was a mess for Buffalo on Monday night against the New York Jets, but the odds makers have told us, ignore all that. They're playing the Raiders this week. The total is 47 in the game. I am optimistic that Buffalo will be on the right side of this. I was a little disturbed watching some of the plays and the play calling last week. I got to be honest with that. I did not think the Raiders were particularly impressive. Denver was just atrocious last week, so that's how I think the Raiders ended up winning that game. But I'm hopeful with a total of 47 that maybe both of the offenses can get on track a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's plenty of reason to be hopeful about the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Broncos looked good in the first half, right? I think Russ was 17 of 19 in the first half. He looked pretty decent there. They were playing a bunch of, you know, Brandon Johnson and Lil Jordan Humphrey at wide receiver. They're going to get Judy back. I'm leaving the light on for the Denver Broncos. And I thought the Raiders played okay. But the New York Jets really just seem to have the Buffalo Bills number. Like, whatever the Jets do on defense just seems to frustrate the crap out of Josh Allen. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. He seems all out of sorts. Doesn't seem like he knows what he's looking at. The coverages are all messed up. He's not in rhythm. He doesn't run particularly well against them either. Like, it's just all a mess. The Bills stuff that we're looking for in fantasy, obviously we need to see, all right, what happens with James Cook. Does his role grow when they're a favorite, or do they play Damian Harris when they're ahead? Does Dalton Kincaid's role stay the same, or do they go back to Deontay Hardy and Trent Sherfield? I mean, Hardy, I think, could be a fantasy starter in this offense. You know, I don't think very much about Gabe Davis. I just don't think he's that good. And then on the Raiders side, honestly, Craig, I don't know if I'm going to have anything to say interesting about this team all year. You start Josh Jacobs, you start Davante Adams, sometimes you start Jacoby Myers, probably not going to start him this week because I don't think he's going to play, and that's it. No one else on the whole team is relevant for fantasy football. I can't imagine you're in a league where you're starting Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe a 16-team league or something, but yeah, right. The Raiders, most paint-by-numbers fantasy team in the sport.
All right, Colts at the Texans this week. It looks like a really good spot for both teams, but the total is saying, Davis, no, this is going to be a low-scoring game. 40 is the total over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Colts, a very slight favorite. We know that Houston isn't very good. We know the Colts aren't very good. Usually that's a recipe for a lot of offense, but Davis, you know what happens when coaches like this get together. Oh, this is the winnable game on the schedule. Let's run the ball 35 times and win 13-10 if we can. I'm hoping that's not the case, though.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that that is not the case as well. Would be sort of, I mean, I think it would be hard actually for the Indianapolis Colts to say, all right, this is our winnable game. Let's hunker down. Let's run the ball. Because, like, what are you going to do? I mean, Zach Moss, Deion Jackson looked like the worst running back I've ever seen last week. He had like 18 touches for 18 yards and two lost fumbles. The Texans, I mean, this could be a game where Damian Pierce sees like 26 carries or something. Although I was pleasantly surprised by how much the Houston Texans let CJ Stroud do his thing against the Ravens last week. Like, they could have just shut it down, ran the ball, short passes. But I mean, Stroud was getting outside of the pocket. They had, I think they were plus 4% in pass rate over expected, which is good to see. Like, doesn't look like they're putting handcuffs on him. Sort of interested to see what happens with Noah Brown on the IR. He was one of the starting wide receivers for the Texans last week. I hope that my guy, Tank Dell from the University of Houston, who played 49% of the snaps last week, I hope he just becomes a starter. He would be kind of fun for fantasy, kind of a fast, shorter slot guy there. Also, Dalton Schultz played, I think he played 96% of the snaps for the Texans last week, but saw only two targets. That's a guy who was drafted as a starter in fantasy football. He's probably not feeling that great about it, but I think he should be all right here. This is my vomit stack game for daily fantasy on DraftKings this week. You do some Richardson, you do some Pittman, run it back with Tank Dell or CJ Stroud. I mean, yeah, the total for this game is low, but if it just some weird stuff happens early and it ends up 10-7 at the end of the first quarter, it could be a total boat race, right? A dome game, young quarterbacks, they're going to make mistakes. Like, this game, I think this game is either going to be the worst game on Red Zone or maybe one of the more fun games of the day. Not much in between.
Yeah, 40, as Davis mentioned, the total there. Okay, 49ers were dominant last week against the Steelers. This line opened up at 8.5. It's gone down to about 7, I guess, in favor with some Rams backing here. The total is 45. It's very easy from fantasy perspective. You just play everybody on San Francisco. The question is, what do you do with the Rams at this point, Davis? It's like, you know, so many new players getting opportunities and, by the way, making the most of it. I think so many fantasy points on the Rams side last week, Davis, were on the bench. But then again, you throw them all in this week against the 49ers, and you got two things working against you. Number one, you don't know if last week was real. And number two, you're playing against the 49ers. So what do you do?
So it's very hard. I mean, I just honestly, Craig, 24 hours out, I don't have a good answer for you. Sean McVay said on Friday that Puka Nacua has an oblique injury. He got in a limited practice on Friday after not practicing on Thursday. He's listed as questionable. They said they expect him to be ready on Sunday. We'll see. I mean, Sean McVay is one of these coaches that loves to lie. Pete Carroll, Sean McVay, both of them love to lie. I mean, it is just their bread and butter. They absolutely love to do it. Weirdly enough, the one Ram I would start if I was in a position to think about it would actually be Atwell, because I feel like his role is either he catches a 50 yarder or he doesn't. And you're just as likely to catch a 50 yarder against the 49ers as you are a high school team. It's, do you beat the safety? Does the quarterback see you? And Atwell is just going to do that. Now, I think a lot of teams probably just bid that money on Nacua and they're like, you know what? I didn't spend all that money to start, you know, Jerry Jeudy over him or whoever. Like, I'm starting the guy I just spent all this money on. And I think that's fine. Now, I actually think the 49ers cover this spread. I mean, the 49ers to me look like the team that just makes absolute mincemeat of bad and average teams. And then, like, every Kyle Shanahan team struggles to beat the really elite teams, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Ravens, you know, the truly great NFL teams. And the one I wouldn't start, the Ram I would not start, would be Kyren Williams. Even if I won a Kyren Williams bid, I think I would leave him on the bench this week. I just do not see the running room, really. Like, I think they're going to – basically, I think the Rams start this game down 10 points almost immediately.
Yeah, 49ers minus 7 in this one. Giants, big favorites on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, who by most accounts we thought would be the worst team in the NFL. Could be the case. They didn't look like the worst team in the NFL in week one. The Giants did, as they got slaughtered by the Cowboys. Total, Davis, in this one is only 39.5. And any player on the Giants in fantasy that you played last week, you probably lost in week one of the fantasy season. I gotta believe, Davis, that Brian Daboll, good coach, I gotta believe they bounce back here. You know, I don't know what the final score is gonna be, but I gotta think that the Giants are not gonna let themselves get embarrassed like they. I love backing teams that get killed in week one, and I guess they qualify.
They're bouncing back. Not only are they gonna win, they're gonna cover. Wouldn't surprise me if they win by double digits. The Cardinals got so lucky to stay in that game. They got a defensive touchdown. Josh Dobbs looked abject on offense. He targeted Zach Ertz 10 times. They got 18 yards out of those 10 targets. I mean, just, or 22 yards, just beyond brutal, the Arizona Cardinals offense. I think the simplest solution, I mean, one, the Giants offensive line looked like a JV unit against the Cowboys. You're not going to have that same problem against the Arizona Cardinals. There's a couple things I think that the Giants can do to improve on offense. The first one, they're going to get Wandale Robinson back from injury this week. He'll probably only play 10 or 15 snaps, but Wandale is their best wide receiver. I also think they're going to play third round rookie Jalen Hyatt a little bit more in this game. And, you know, Darren Waller, this hamstring injury, I don't know what's going on with it. Obviously, I think you start him if you have him, because who knows how many weeks he's even going to be available for with this injury. And Saquon, you're starting. Kind of interested to see what the backup running back situation is. But the thing I'm monitoring the most for the Giants is going to be Jalen Hyatt snaps.
All right, let's do the Jets and Cowboys here. The Zach Wilson era re-begins, if that's fair to say. Cowboys 9.5-point favorites, one of the lowest totals on the board, 38.5. No one really loved what they liked with Dallas's offense last week, Davis, but I don't know that that was even a good judge. They were up so big in that game, and every time Daniel Jones had the ball, he was throwing an interception. You think the Cowboys score some points this week on offense?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they're going to score. Pollard, you're starting him. CeeDee, you're starting him. Ferguson, borderline. I think you wait and see on Gallup and Jalen Tolbert with Brandon Cooks trending like he likely is not going to play maybe for a couple weeks. On the Jets, I mean, look, you got to start Garrett Wilson. Do you feel really good about it? Probably not. I also would start Breece Hall. I've gotten this question a little bit on Twitter, like, oh, what are you doing with Breece Hall? I mean, obviously you got to start him because, Craig, this is going to be the most natural impulse from the coaching staff. Oh, we got to protect Breece Hall. We got to keep him on a pitch count. And then you're down 14-0 in the second quarter. Zach Wilson can't complete a pass.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Handing it off to Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook can't do anything with it. Then you put Breece in, and he's like 10 yards, 11 yards, 5 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 8 yards. And it's like, okay, maybe enough of the Dalvin Cook stuff. Maybe we do actually just give the ball to our best player. So starting Breece, obviously you got to temper your expectations, but I can't imagine leaving Breece Hall on my bench.
And we got to take a quick time out here on the show. Coming up next, we finish off our team previews for the week. Commanders and Broncos are up next. Then we've got some fantasy or reality. So stay with us here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We'll take a quick time out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We continue to preview the NFL games on Sunday. Let's get right to it. Finishing off, Commanders and Broncos, Davis. The Denver Broncos back at home, total 38.5. They're 3.5-point favorites. Washington didn't look all that great. As you said, the Broncos did look okay in that first half, but then it was the Broncos of last year. In the second half of this game, I am hesitant to play these guys, Davis. I don't know what to expect. I mean, what Denver Broncos are you starting this week? Could you start any?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can start Judy. I think that you can probably start Sutton. Dulcich seems like he's going to miss a couple weeks with this injury. They might even put him on the designated for return IR. He actually injured the same hamstring that he had injured last year. I actually thought Javonte Williams looked awesome. I mean, I did not have it on my bingo card that Javonte Williams would actually lead this backfield in touches. Now, P. Ryan also, I mean, that's the thing about the Sean Payton offense. It just gives free fantasy points to running backs. There was obviously a year for the New Orleans Saints where Kamara and Ingram both finished as top 12 running backs in fantasy football. Like, yeah, Pierre Thomas, Darren Sproles, like that is just what Sean Payton does. He is going to give fantasy points to the running backs. But Russell Wilson, not going to start him. He's just not quite there. And maybe he'll get there. In fact, I hope he does. Like, the NFL, Craig, there's so much poor quarterback play. There is so much bad offense that having any team with a good quarterback and a good offense is good. So I am rooting for Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos figuring it out. On the Commander side, McLaurin, Dotson, clear starts. Robinson, clear start. Everyone else other than that, I think you probably leave them on the bench.
All right, Miami Dolphins on Sunday Night Football going against New England Patriots. And Davis, dangerous spot for Miami because the Patriots, look, let's be honest, they've had the Dolphins numbers through the years. The games are always close. Miami rarely a favorite on the road at New England. This is up to 3 at this point. Davis, total of 45.5. Miami was incredible on offense last week. They couldn't stop anybody on the ground last week for the Chargers. I mean, some people think this is going to be the highest scoring game of the week. It's a primetime game, too.
Yep. I know you're going to disagree with me on this one, but I like Miami here. New England just doesn't have the horses. They just don't. They're not fast enough. They just are not good enough on offense. I know they looked all right in the comeback effort last week, but I'm buying on Mike McDaniel. I'm buying on Tyreek Hill. I'm buying on Jalen Waddle. I think Devin Achane might be active this week. I'm really excited to watch him play. So starting all your Dolphins, obviously Mostert, Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle, maybe even Durham Smythe. He played every offensive snap for the Dolphins. You're starting Ramondre for the Patriots. Deeper league, maybe Kendrick Bourne. I mean, we've done this whole show, didn't mention Kendrick Bourne was also one of the guys who cost a bunch on waivers. Bourne probably on the borderline for me. Maybe I would play Bourne over a questionable Puka Nacua with an oblique injury, but that's right about the line.
All right, so those are our preview games here on Fantasy Sports Today. But before we go, we always play a little game of true or false, and it's time for us to play now. It's called Fantasy or Reality. All right, Davis, let's start off with Josh Allen, who had a miserable game on Monday night against the New York Jets. In fact, if you played him, you may have lost more points than you got. So many mistakes for him on Monday Night Football if you have negative points in your fantasy league. So, again, let's see if this is an overreaction or if it's just a one-week thing. Josh Allen, who was not the first quarterback overall taken in some fantasy leagues, but certainly was right there 2 or 3 at the worst 4. Fantasy reality, Davis. Josh Allen will finish worse than a quarterback 5 at the end of the fantasy football season. And look, he's already got some stats banked. He's already got some turnovers banked after week 1. So this has to be included.
He's not going to finish worse than quarterback 5. I mean, he is He's great. He's going to run. We even saw him run maybe even a little bit more than he should have in that game. He couldn't get anything going against the New York Jets, but he'll figure it out. And also, I mean, other guys like got a head start. Like Joe Burrow did absolutely nothing. Herbert had a good real life game, not a great fantasy game. Mahomes only, I think, 23 points. Like they, no one built up an insurmountable lead over him, but it might be more like the quarterback five than the quarterback three than he was drafted. So I do think that he will. So I will say fantasy, he will finish right about quarterback five.
Yeah, I'm going to say a reality. I think that the turnover issues from last year are back again. I don't think that makes him a bad quarterback at all, but I just don't think that this gets fixed as easily as some people think. Now, we're going to get a better indication of that this week against the Raiders, because if for whatever reason Allen does throw another pick or two, I think we would change our opinion on that. I will say reality. I think he's outside this border of five, maybe six, seven, or eight, so we'll go opposite there. But Josh Allen still has a great year, make no mistake about it. Still going to rush for a lot of touchdowns. Okay, how about the sidelines on that Thursday night game between Philadelphia and Minnesota? A.J. Brown, give me the ball type stuff. Devonta Smith had a great game on Thursday night and naturally is the deep threat there. But A.J. Brown had his moments in the sun last year too with Jalen Hurts. Fantasy reality, I don't know, it's a tough one, Davis. Devonta Smith will be more valuable in fantasy than A.J. Brown this season.
It would be a little bit easier, I think, to make this declaration if Devonta Smith was cheaper in drafts. You know, if it was like, okay, you had to draft A.J. Brown in the first round, but then Devonta Smith was like the fifth round. But it's not even like there really was a big discount between the guys. It was like A.J. Brown was like the eighth pick and Devonta Smith was like the 23rd pick. So not even really that big of a gap. After two games of the season, Devonta Smith has 15 targets. A.J. Brown has 16. Devonta Smith has 60 more receiving yards, but the two touchdowns. A.J. Brown, remember, he also had a 50-yarder called back against the New England Patriots. Probably would have iced the game. And it just, I don't remember what the penalty was. I think it was maybe a holding call, but it was pretty close. I got fantasy. I mean, I just think A.J. Brown. Devonta Smith is great. I mean, he is a great NFL wide receiver, but A.J. Brown is like that top tier, that Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp tier of talent. So I got fantasy, but it's closer than I would have guessed, Craig, 2 weeks ago before we started the season.
Yeah, I'm going to say fantasy too, but Devonta Smith is as David said, is great, and he's got that connection going with Jalen Hurts. But, you know, whenever something happens like this with a receiver, and it happened on Thursday night with A.J. Brown, you just know that next game comes, and that guy has a great game. In the end, I do think Brown ends up scoring more touchdowns, more receptions. Is there a chance that maybe at the end of the year, Smith is 1,200 yards, Brown is 1,000? Yeah, like I could see that happening. But I think overall, if we add the fantasy numbers up at the end of the season, I do think A.J. Brown will be the higher fantasy point getter. Okay, now let's go to the running back position in fantasy football. Bijan Robinson was the first round pick for everybody in fantasy, whether he was 7 or 6 or 8 or 10. He was drafted very high. He looked pretty good in his first game for the Atlanta Falcons. Didn't get 30 points or anything like that in week 1, but naturally did do enough to help you in fantasy in the first week. Fantasy reality, Bijan Robinson's average draft position, as it turns out, was too high in fantasy football draft season.
Yeah, I got fantasy here. I don't think anyone's having buyer's remorse on Bijan Robinson. I think a lot of people are having buyer's remorse on Cam Akers, on Joe Mixon, on Najee Harris, maybe a little bit on Kenneth Walker. You know, I think all of that is possible, but I think Bijan is the man. You know, I think that maybe the truly legendary season for him is not possible. Maybe he won't score 300 points. Maybe he won't score 350 points, but he definitely won't kill you. And he's certainly going to have some weeks where he gets, you know, 30 or more points. And I mean, we haven't even seen him score a long touchdown yet. Like imagine if he ripped off a 26-yard touchdown the way ETN did, he would have 30 points in his first ever career NFL game. He was a huge part of that passing game. He had 6 targets in his first NFL game for an Arthur Smith team. I think it seems like a clear win. I definitely do not think it's too high. I'm bullish on Bijan, and I think he eats into Tyler Algier's workload more than Algier ends up eating into his over the course of the season. So I got fantasy.
Yeah, we see the same on two of the three thus far. I got fantasy also. Look, I thought, at least from watching him, he looked great. Rookie in his first game, it's very rare to see, and I'm trying to think of like rookie running backs in their first game, Ezekiel Elliott, Edgerrin James, Fred Taylor, Clinton Portis. Like, some of those running backs were so phenomenal in their first play, but this is the Falcons we're talking about here, you know? And he did not walk into the best situation. Their offense was really poor last year. Their quarterback play also not good. I thought he was very impressive in watching him, and I think the numbers end up getting translated, so I will say fantasy there. All right, well, even with the injury to Travis Kelce, we got Travis Kelce news last week, and this one kind of came out of nowhere, that Travis Kelce, correct me if I'm wrong here, Davis, may or may not be at least dating or had dates with Taylor Swift. I mean, this was like out of nowhere. I mean, they were, I guess, did a great job hiding it for a long time. But what I would ask you, Davis, is, first of all, do you think this is something that could be long-term? Who knows? Second of all, Taylor Swift has a penchant for writing about her boyfriends and ex-boyfriends. Fantasy or reality, Davis, the Swifties, Taylor Swift will write an album, or I should probably even expand this to a song about Travis Kelce one day.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Craig, when I started to hear these rumors, I was like, this is something straight out of my brain. It's like I dreamt this. Travis Kelce, great player. I've actually met him. He follows me on Twitter. That's a fun little fact. And he, one of my favorite players on my favorite team. And Taylor Swift, whose music I've loved for, I don't know, for as long as I can remember. I still bummed out I didn't get to go see her tour. I just, you know, justifying paying $2,500 for a concert ticket, Craig. I honestly couldn't do it. Like, could have made it work, but I couldn't justify it. It sounds like none of this is confirmed. The only thing I know that is confirmed is that he slipped her his phone number using the friendship bracelets that everyone is making on her concert tour. So I thought that was a smooth little move from him. But I'm going to say Travis Kelce is a good dude. He's not going to hurt her feelings. He's not going to lead her astray. I got fantasy. No song, no album. Travis Kelce is a good dude. He is not going to do Taylor Swift wrong. I got fantasy. That's my guy.
Yeah, Davis is giving a little love advice here. Travis Kelce, got to keep it clean. Don't do anything crazy. You're going to end up in a song. Yeah, I got the same thing here. Now, I am the sucker, by the way, that ended up buying the Taylor Swift tickets when Taylor Swift was in Tampa. My wife and daughter did drive up there to go because, Davis, that was the closest it was to South Florida, 4-hour drive. Needless to say, what did Taylor Swift do? 3 months later, announced that she is coming to where, Davis, next year? Miami, of course. So here we go again.
You get to go twice, Craig. Huge win.
I didn't go the first time. I'm not going the second time either, but my money is going. My money is going to Taylor Swift. I know that. Couldn't even get tickets this time. I mean, 3 or 4 concerts at Hard Rock Stadium, couldn't even buy tickets. I don't even think they went on sale. This whole buying concert tickets is like a fraud thing. Like, I don't even think they go on sale. I think it
Correct.
Looks
Ticket
like
Ticketmaster is a criminal organization.
You don't even get to buy them. You just get to see that you're in a queue, and then that's it. You get nothing. It's like buying Top Shot. It makes no sense.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Are you ready for week 2 of the fantasy football season? Coming up Sunday morning, we've got it. Joe Pizzapia and Matt Stryker leading you up until you have to make your fantasy football decisions. Hopefully we helped you out on this show too. Before we leave, let's give you one final thought. Here's Davis with today's Sports Grid 60.
All right, just a note here about the two high safeties that are all around the NFL. I think we've seen some coaches, Matt Stafford and Sean McVay there in Los Angeles, Tua and Mike McDaniel there in Miami. Craig, I am so sick of it. I miss 60-yard touchdowns. I miss deep bombs. I know it's now on the offenses to figure it out and to do something, But, you know, yards per carry is at an all-time high in the NFL. This is like the most effective that the rushing game, which you wouldn't think looking at people's numbers in fantasy, but it's just, it's a version of football that I don't love, you know, and I don't know if the NFL will do anything to legislate it. I think honestly, they'll probably make offense a little bit easier. They'll introduce some penalty to make offense a little bit easier. But as of right now, I mean, that's the explanatory variable for why quarterback play looks so bad, why unders went 12-4 in week one. Enough of the too high safety.
Yeah, speaking of too high safeties, where were those on the Los Angeles Chargers last week? My goodness, did Tua and Tyreek Hill have some hookup last week? I got to tell you, going into this week, that's what I am going to be keeping my eye on when the Dolphins take on the New England Patriots, because I got to tell you, if Bill Belichick does not find a way to stop that combination this week in the NFL, I think we're going to be looking at some historical numbers at the end of the season, maybe for Tua and Tyreek Hill. Hill says he wants 2,000 yards this season. If Tyreek Hill goes off for another 150, 200, I think that is going to happen. That'll do it for our show this week. Thanks to, of course, Sam for producing the program. For my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. Enjoy the fantasy football weekend. Before you know it, we'll be right back here for week 3 of the fantasy football season. Have a great day, everyone.